Oh, I so do not belong in that choir. But I have a good time over here by myself, singing by myself, singing over here. I'm just like, you guys. But I have to say, though, it took me a minute. All right, because I've seen you all before the worship service, some of you anyway. I saw many of you, you know, and I saw Sharon. I'm going, gosh, do we have a baptism? Do I not know about this? What's going on? You know, I didn't catch that you guys were wearing black and white until just now. I'm just cutting edge on that fashion thing, you know, which is so appropriate for our parable today, because it just now dawned on me that, yeah, you guys are all wearing black and white type thing. I'm kind of in between with gray, but yeah, that's all right. So, all right, so we have that going on. We have the title of the sermon, Father of the Groom. Those of you who may not be aware, if you've been living underneath a rock, our daughter is going to be married next November, 2018, at which time I will get to play the role of the father of the bride. We do not anticipate Andreas being married before that time, so I father of the bride, you know, I'm sure you guys see me every Sunday. Sometimes you see me during the week. You know, I know how to rock a style, right?
That's right.
No? No.
Yes, you do.
It's true. I don't have a good sense of fashion at all, actually. I think I've shared with you before the number of times we were getting ready to go out to dinner or something with the family, and I'll come out of the bedroom, and Diana and Marlena will both say, "You're not wearing that, are you?" And I'll say, "No, I'm not. I was just showing you what I could have worn." And go back in and get back in some other clothes. I'm talking about clothes because that's what this parable talks about. It talks about clothes. Now, it talks about a king, all right, and he has sent out an invitation to his son's wedding, and it hasn't worked out well. You see, back in those days, the way invitations worked is it was a two-pronged invitation. There, at first, well in advance, weeks, months in advance, the invitation would go out and say, "Hey, by the way, November 3rd, 2018, there's going to be a wedding, you know, and you're invited, whatever." All right, so you have that, okay? And then the day that it actually was happening, the second invitation would go out, okay? "Hey, today's the day, kill the calf, we're all good. All right, please come." But in this parable, they don't come. Now, they've already been told about it. They weren't surprised. They knew about it. They just said, "We ain't coming." And the first time, the king's kind of patient about it. So he says, "I'll send out a second group. I'll send it out again." The second time, of course, what happens? They get ignored, but some of the servants get killed and abused, and it's not so good. And now the king is angry, all right? And what does he do? Wipes them off. You see, what we do is we allegorize this parable, and we say, okay, well, that first group that said no, those are the Jews, okay? Because they had an agreement with God to follow the covenant, and then they didn't follow the covenant, and so this is the consequence of not following the covenant with God. And then the second group are those who say they're Christians, but they're really not Christians. And so that, you know, you see how we work through this parable in these ways. And isn't it always nice when you come to a hard parable like this that we always end up in the good side? Have you ever noticed that? You know, we hear this parable and we just think about, well, those dirty, stinking people who didn't follow up with the king. Those, see what happens is, you see? Now, like in the Bible study this morning, the idea, though, is I don't think that this is a parable of affirmation. I think that this is a parable of accountability. I think Jesus is trying to tell us something here and is trying to get us to look at this in a way that sometimes we can be uncomfortable with. We don't want to hear that somebody's going to be cast out because they're wearing the wrong clothes. I mean, if it's something as trivial as that, what kind of a chance do we have of getting in? There's got to be something different to this. We don't want to hear that it's so arbitrary. Certainly there has to be some sense of control. We want to have control. Do we not like to have control? When you're at the house, who has the remote? Okay? All right? You know how it is. You want to have the remote. Doesn't matter if you're never changing the station. All right? Doesn't matter. You want to have some sense of control. We hear this parable. We want to say, okay, that was the Jews. That was the Christians who weren't really following Jesus. But we're safe. We're inside. And I think Jesus is trying to tell us not so fast. I think Jesus is saying 2,000 years have gone by and you're still missing it. Did you hear? This is amazing to me. In Indiana. I mean, you cannot get more Bible belted outside of maybe Kentucky than Indiana. In Indiana, St. John's, Indiana, up in the northwest part of Indiana, okay, just south of Gary, never going to go there. It doesn't matter where it is. But it's Indiana. In Indiana, at the St. John Church, Katie Menzel was refused First Communion. Refused. Now, I know you guys aren't Catholic. You're not catching. But some of you have a Catholic background. You have to understand. All right? Catholics are born and bred and raised up Catholics. They're really strong. First Communion is important. It is absolutely important and part of their life. And she was refused. Was refused. Not because she didn't go to the classes. Not because she didn't go through the confirmation. No. She was refused. You see, Katie has a fashion sense. Ever since she was a little girl. And understand, she identifies as a girl. All right? Into the makeup, into the nails. You know, those of you who've ever played Pretty Pretty Princess with your daughter, you know how it goes. Beads, all that type of stuff. Only she has short hair because she donates it all the time. Locks of Love and things like that to just raising money. Anyways, she has always had a thing about suits. 4 years old, she's going to Chicago with her mom, sees a bow tie. 4 year old wearing bow tie. All right? Don't matter. She likes wearing suits. First Communion coming up, she's getting ready to go First Communion. She sees this white, dazzly, sparkly suit. The church said, no. Girls wear dresses or skirts. And the parents said, it's a nice suit. It's an appropriate suit. It's a white suit. She's wearing the suit. Unfortunately, things escalated. Church official said told the dad, you're not raising your daughter right. That always goes well. As a parent, let me tell you, I always respond so affirmingly when someone wants to criticize my parenting skills. Ended up, the family left the church. Left the church because of a dress code. A dress code. Now, I understand the priest wasn't available for comment on the story. Imagine that. But I understand. I do understand. There are dress codes. There are dress codes at work. There are dress codes at school. There are some restaurants. I've not been to any, but there are restaurants that have dress codes. All right, you have to have a coat and tie, and if you don't, they'll provide you with one. I understand that there is an importance of dress code, but I wonder how that priest interprets this parable. Left the church? They were willing to have her have a private First Communion. You don't get to sit with your class. You don't get to be with your friends. You don't get to participate in the party afterwards. You don't get to have your class picture taken with a group. No. But after everybody has left the church, you can come. You can't even be there. But you can come later. As if you should be ashamed of who you are or what you're wearing. Now, I understand. I really do. You got to draw the line somewhere. Otherwise, you're going to have tie-dye shirts or purple shirts or sneakers and holy jeans and with the pants. Well, I don't even want to start talking about that. And it just, you got, you, but left the church. You see, we hear this parable and we want to be so quick to condemn everybody for, well, they should have accepted the king's invitation. That wasn't right. They shouldn't have told the king that they were going to come and then not come. There was a lot of things that shouldn't have happened here. And Jesus is telling us this parable now. And I don't think he's telling us this parable to say, look how wonderful you are. If only the rest of the world was as open and as gracious as you are. If only everybody loved everybody the way they do at First Christian Church. Do you really think that's what this parable is? Or do you think maybe Jesus is saying something out? You know, I think obviously that Jesus is saying something different. This past week, I had a chance to hear, I guess it's called a band, but I think of it as an orchestra and a symphony. I haven't gotten to hear that kind of music in a while. Oh, it was great. I absolutely enjoyed it. It was wonderful. And yet, I'm aware that not just anybody can be in the group. And if you are a part of the group, there are certain expectations. If you're going to be in the band, the orchestra, there are expectations of you. And part of those expectations are you come to rehearsal. Part of those expectations are you're going to practice. Part of those expectations are you're going to listen to the leader, the director, respond appropriately. If you're going to be a part of the group. I wonder if Jesus is not trying to let us know how important it is to identify what it is that we can do to make sure we're part of the group. Because we're told, many are called, few are chosen. We're told about the inappropriate guest. The inappropriate guest wasn't kicked out because he was bad. Matthew says the good and the bad, it's all income free. Everyone is invited. Everybody can come. But once you're in, there are standards and expectations. Wedding garment refers to a new life. And by the way, I know some of you may have Bible notes in this. Oh, you know, the king provided wedding garments. You know, like those little party hats you get? You know, when you go to the little kids' party and they have a hat for everybody to wear. And the king, he provided little party hats for everybody. And that's why this guy got kicked out, because he wasn't wearing the party hat. No. Augustine came up with that. You can't trace it back before him. He's the one that put that interpretation on it. Because why? Because this parable's rough. And he wanted to smooth out the edges a little bit. Because that way we feel a lot more comfortable. Well, if you're reading a parable of Jesus and you come away from it comfortable, you haven't read it. You haven't read it. A parable of Jesus should always cause us to think twice. Take time to reflect. What does this mean? How is this working? How does this apply in my life? I don't understand how this could be. It says all are invited. It says good and bad. And yet it says one guest, how did you get here? It's not appropriate. Not appropriate. I've told you this story before. I know you, George Long loves sports analogies. Vince Lombardi was a great football coach. Great time. It was a long time ago, but he was a great football coach. Known for a no-nonsense type of style. You know, rough and tough, that type of thing. And he's coming to the end of his career. And this is a time when players are beginning to celebrate when they make a touchdown or something, okay? But that's not done in a Lombardi team. But since one player, okay, does it. Makes a touchdown, goes in the end zone, does a little dance, you know. Oh, yeah. I got the moves like Jag. You know, he's just all happy with himself, doing the dance and everything, getting the crowd to go get all put it. He gets back to the sideline, and Lombardi looks at him and says, that was a nice dance. Next time, try to act like you've been there before. See? Try to act like you've been there before. Try to act. Jesus is telling us, if it's by grace and it is that you got invited in. If you're wearing the garment of grace, which we are, then show grace. Then show grace. We are so quick sometimes to judge other people. The good and the bad are invited. We're not told whether or not the person that got kicked out was bad or good. We're not told. Why? Because it's not important. What's important is that he was not appropriately dressed. Was invited by grace, but was not wearing the garments of grace. Was not sharing that grace. This parable reminds us that we don't get in by our works. But Jesus is also telling us this parable to remind us that sometimes we allow grace to slide into permissiveness. And there is a difference between accepting all people and condoning all behavior. There are expectations. And if you're going to come to a party because of grace, you're expected to extend that grace as well, to allow others to identify you as a person of grace, filled with grace, touched with grace, allowing that grace to work in such a way that others identify you as being a part of that. Because here's the deal. The reality is none of us belong in that party. None of us belong at this table. None of us belong in the kingdom. But each of us are called, invited, to wear the grace that God has provided for us. And the way we wear it determines whether or not we're chosen to stay or cast out. Will you wear the garment of grace that God has given us? What are you wearing? And that's the opportunity we have. We say, oh no, like my wife and my daughter do. You're not wearing that. This is a parable that gives us an opportunity to look at the mirror before we step out. Oh no, I cannot wear that. I cannot wear my judgment of others. I cannot wear my hate of others. I cannot wear my prejudice. I cannot wear that. I need to find something more appropriate. And God provides that to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.